Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Folks, I just want to ask you to put things in perspective for just a moment. I want you to imagine with me that the Lord has delayed His coming, and it's a long time in the future, and time has had its way with your mortal frame, and you're no longer able to stand. You're no longer able to lift your hands. You're no longer able to jump and shout. And in that perspective, I want to ask you, shouldn't we take advantage of this moment right now to give praise and glory to God? Seek the Creator while you're in the days of your youth. Oh, let's give praise to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. I'd ask you to join me in giving appreciation to all of our wonderful ministers that have led in worship tonight, these precious singers and musicians. They have brought us into the presence of God. Thank you so much for your prayer and your practice and your dedication. We appreciate it so much. I want to read for you a scripture from the Old Testament and a scripture from the New Testament. And I will tell you in advance, my title tonight is, Today is Your Day. Isaiah 49 and 8, the word of the Lord, Isaiah 49 and 8, the prophet said this, Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And then if you'll look with me in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The writings of the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Corinth, or the city churches in the city of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, today is your day. Let's thank the Lord by faith. Bless you as you're seated. Message tonight, I want to bring you just by way of remembrance a powerful truth from our history in this nation. And it is brought to you simply as an exhortation to allow God to expand your thinking. And this, I'm reading a brief article written by a man named Michael Hyatt. He's well known in the publishing industry and has been very successful in Christian publishing. And he wrote this article about how Martin Luther King Jr. made the world better in just 10 years. When Martin Luther King Jr. accepted the ministerial call from Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, he was just 25 years old. That was in 1954. What King accomplished over the next decade would radically reshape American society and provide an example and inspiration for us today. So what was his secret? In a subsection titled Changing the World in Just 10 Years, he writes this, A year after he arrived in Montgomery, Rosa Parks famously refused to give up her seat on a public bus. And King led the Montgomery bus boycott to end segregation. The U.S. Supreme Court sided with the boycotters in 1956. A year later, in 57, King formed and led the Southern Christian Leaders Conference, which helped organize the burgeoning civil rights movement. He also spoke before his first national audience and made the cover of Time magazine. But that was only the beginning. King's organizing and protest work continued in the late 50s and early 60s with sit-ins and protests culminating in the events of 1963. In April, King was arrested in Birmingham for disobeying a ban on demonstrations. When he came under fire from local preachers, local ministers, he responded with one of his most important and memorable works, Letter from a Birmingham Jail. A few months later, he led the march on Washington, attended by over 200,000 people. 1963 was the 100-year anniversary of Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, and King gave his stirring I Have a Dream speech from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. The demonstration galvanized nationwide support for civil rights. Earlier that summer, President John F. Kennedy introduced the nation's most sweeping civil rights legislation to date, and the impact of the march and King's advocacy was instrumental in its passage in 1964. If that wasn't enough, Time picked King as its Man of the Year, and the Nobel Committee made King the youngest ever recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, all in 10 years. He was just 35 years old, and there was more work to do, but he had already turned the world upside down. How did he do it? In a subsection titled Avoiding the Trap of Limiting Beliefs, Hyatt writes this, King's critics in Birmingham thought his actions were unwise and untimely, that they violated common sense. But unlike King, these ministers were laboring under a limiting belief. Here's what I mean. They held an idea about the world that limited their range of possibilities. Instead of seeing King's actions as paving the way for change, they saw them as counterproductive. But this is just one of a million examples in life where common sense is just another way of saying widely held misunderstanding. A limiting belief doesn't change reality. It just limits what we'll make of it. It's a misunderstanding of the present that shortchanges our future. King was surrounded by limiting beliefs like these. The civil rights movement is asking for too much too fast. The civil rights movement is stirring up unnecessary trouble. Nonviolence won't move the needle. Armed resistance is needed. Whites won't change. Racial reconciliation is impossible. Racism is ingrained in the culture. We'll never change that, let alone change the law. And there were many, many others shared by white and black people in and outside the movement. The difference between King and others was that he didn't fall prey to their limiting beliefs. He didn't cut off his options and limit his potential with negative thinking. Instead of limiting beliefs, King embraced liberating truths. He believed that the times called for urgent action. He believed that nonviolent demonstrations were necessary and effective. He believed that racial reconciliation was a real hope and that hearts and the whole society could really change. That's what his I Have a Dream speech was all about. He could see it. Regardless of what some people said or believed, he could visualize the victory and knew in his bones that he would someday realize it as well. Those liberating truths freed him to act with determination. In a subsection titled, We Have the Right Tools for the Job, Hyatt writes this, early in his ministry in Montgomery, during the final difficult months of the bus boycott, in 1956, King preached a sermon to encourage his congregation to live hopeful lives of creative action. Quote, Lord, help me to accept my tools, end quote. He told them to pray. Quote, however dull they are, help me to accept them. And then, Lord, after I've accepted my tools, then help me to set out and do what I can do with my tools, end quote. To show how powerful our humble tools can be, King pointed to the example of Moses, who shed his limiting beliefs with God's help and led his people to freedom. We have the right tools to create the kind of change the world needs. King's example shows us that. Quote, "There is no deficit in human resources," he once said. "The deficit is in human will." King proved these words by his own example, and his extraordinary success can instruct and inspire us today if we share the limiting beliefs that are holding us back and embrace liberating truths that can propel us forward. The world is filled with sour-faced memes that mock world changers and, in fact, mock those who are in need of help and willing to ask. And one shining example of these dismal memes has become so popular that it's now a cliche. It's a poster that you'll sometimes run into in a business or someone's office, and it will say this: "You're come to ask them for help. You need help. They're supposed to help, but they got a sign behind you, behind them that you can see." And it says this: "Today ain't your day, and tomorrow ain't looking too good either." The conveyed message of such signs is clear. I or we have priorities that don't include you, so don't even think about asking me or us to get involved in your needs or to help you with your situation. I thank God that He does not regard us that way. He is here right now. He is here today. He is ready to help us in our situation. Oh, let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord God is ready to change circumstances. He is ready to change your life. He is ready to reform and remold and reshape and regenerate your heart and your mind and your spirit. I come to preach to you, today is your day. Let me say it again. Today is your day. Hallelujah. The Lord does all things well. And He does things in His own time. And sometimes His time is not what we think is soon enough or what we think is important, is appropriate for our situation. But the Lord always comes through in a good way and in a good time. He does all things well. But in this scenario in which sometimes we think it should happen now and the Lord is saying, no, there's a better time later, I want to point out to you the scriptures that talk about today being the day of salvation. This is amazing to me. The Lord knew that every single time any human being read a scripture saying, today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time, He knew that they would be saying it in a day that for them is today, and that in a moment that for them now is now. I know that's so deep that you could break off your leg if you fall in that hole, but folks, that's the truth. He knew that every one of us would say that as we read that scripture aloud, and yet He put that into the Bible. The Lord is clear. Whenever I step up, whenever you step up, whenever I ask Him for forgiveness, whenever I ask Him for the Holy Ghost, whenever I ask Him for help, whenever I ask Him for His response in my situation, He will move heaven and earth to get to me and to help me. He will make me the center of His universe, and He will bring help. There is an appointed time for every purpose under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3. But when it comes to salvation, the word of the Lord declares, today is the appointed time, and now is the appointed hour. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then later He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, lest we misunderstand and just relegate that to just preachism, I want to go into that passage and I want to read it for you. And I want to point out to you something powerful about the context. Jesus said unto them, suppose one of you goes to his friend at midnight and says, friend, Lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And the one inside answers, do not bother me. My door is already shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up to provide for him because of his friendship, yet because of the man's persistence, the King James uses the word importunity. It means he just keeps asking. Okay, get that. Keeps asking. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. But then he says this. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? So if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let's think about this for just a moment. The Lord drew a parallel between earthly fathers being asked by their children for food and the heavenly Father being asked by us for the baptism of his Spirit or the help of his Spirit. What earthly father, if being asked by his child for something to eat, would say, well, you know, come back to me in a month or two and I'll see if I can get you something to eat? No. The loving father, knowing his child is hungry, and if he's capable, will get some food set in place and about as soon as he can. Folks, the message is that God, as our heavenly father, is more capable of quick movement than an earthly father. He's more loving than an earthly father. He's more responsive than an earthly father. And he is more willing than an earthly father. I declare unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus that by the time you can move from your seat to this altar, by the time you can even get your hands in the air and lift your voice and cry out for help, the Lord will already have heard you. He will already have the help on hand. He will already have a table spread. He will be responsive to you in your need. He will bring you regeneration, encouragement, strength, renewing in the Holy Ghost, if needed, your initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. So tell me, what possible reason could we have for going another day under our heavy load without God's help? What possible reason could we have for continuing to struggle under the burden without asking him for help? Unable to bear up under the load, hungry and thirsty for the Lord's righteousness, desperate for a move of the Spirit, dry and weary without the quenching flow of living water. Why would we go on another day? And so at the risk of sounding like a shopping channel salesman, don't delay. Act now. Today, he is here. You need to rise up and say it. Today is my day. Let's take just about a 20-second praise break and let the Lord move on us right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, help is here. Healing is here. The Holy Ghost baptism is here. Renewing in the Holy Ghost is here. Help for your mind is here. Help for your situation is here. He is here. And today is your day. Hallelujah. Ah. Why don't you reach over right now and lay your hand on somebody? And you hear what I'm telling you. That hand you feel touching you, I know it's your brother or your sister, but you need to understand the hand of the Lord God Almighty is touching you right now with their fingers. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your healing virtue flow in this house. Let your touch, Lord, in your God flow in this house. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. mercy on me, Lord. I got a little bit more I need to preach from the Word of God, but I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Ghost is straining at every nerve to break in on us tonight. It's not a question of does he want to move? It's a question of do you want to call out on him? Do you want to reach out to him? I want to read an amazing scripture for you. And then I want to show you the amazing context of that scripture, which makes it even more astounding. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now that verse is astounding, but the context of it is even more astounding. Folks, it's in a context of God's judgment on those who will not call out on him and his salvation for those who will. Now, I want to read it to you from the New International Version, and you can read along with me in the King James Version. I'm reading Isaiah 65. Listen, it starts off and there's a long bit about judgment, and then the Lord turns it around with a promise for the future for those who will call on him. And I want to exhort you in the name of Jesus, do not let it be said that God sees you in the former group, but rather in the latter group. The Lord said this, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long have I held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord, because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defiled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says, as when the juice is still found in a cluster of grapes and people say, don't destroy it because there's still a blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them. There will my servants live. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds. For my people who seek me. But as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you will fall in the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry from the anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for the chosen ones, my chosen ones, to use in their curses. The sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Folks, the key difference between those who receive judgment and those who receive salvation is found in verse 10. For my people that have sought me. So, I preach to you today, rise up with me and declare to the Lord, I will not be among those who fall away. I will not be among those who backslide. I will not be among those who will not call upon the Lord. I will not be among those who chase fortune and chase fame and destiny. I will not be among those who stand in self-righteousness. I will not be among those who are obstinate, who walk in their own ways and pursue their own imaginations. No, do not be among those who don't respond when God calls. Do not be among those who don't seek the Lord, but rise up and say, I will seek him while he may be found. I will chase after him today, right now. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want to ask you to stand and make your way to this altar tonight to respond, to visibly, demonstrably call out on the Lord, to visibly and demonstrably respond to the Lord's call. Elder Rusty had it right. There is a drawing of the Spirit here tonight. Folks, there is a drawing of the Spirit. If you've been laboring under a spirit of heaviness, God is calling to you. If you've been laboring under a heavy burden, the Holy Ghost is calling to you tonight. Come and respond to his call. Come and seek his face today. Don't harden your heart as they did in the day of provocation. Seek his face. Respond to him in faith so that you may enter into his rest. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is here tonight to heal. He is here tonight to baptize with his Spirit. He is here tonight to renew in the Holy Ghost. He is here tonight to change my thinking. He's here tonight to change your thinking. Sometimes we have stinking thinking and we need a checkup from the neck up. He is here to do a work in our minds. Oh.
Listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.